Welcome to another episode of Love Everyone Equally. I'm your host, Delta.
And Eugene.
And today we're joined by special guests Kelly and Justin.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
How was your week?
Busy. Super busy.
Can you, you want to elaborate a little bit? Try to putting loosen everybody spot. Up. Like, yeah.
We work the full-time job, and then we come home and we work on the other house so we can get ready to move into it. You know, it's a flipping two mortgages ain't no fun.
I don't know it ain't.
Yeah.
This is draining.
One is a headache for
one
me.
Is a
So on today's episode, we're going to be talking about parenting. And so I know the first question Kelly had
suggested
that we talk about. It seems as if it's not okay to be wrong or admit that adults make mistakes.
When it comes from an adult. Right, Kelly?
Yeah.
I like to start off this conversation. It's a lot of mistakes I made while trying to raise my two boys. It's a lot of things that I wish they could see the other side of the coin. Sometimes they only get the negative and they never get the positive out of a situation. And they need to see both sides of you being wrong and you admitting your fault and how you work through it. That's when it comes to argument with your partner, when it comes to something going wrong at work, to mistakes you make when it comes to your finances, because I have made a lot of them, and how you work through it. And like even when it comes to your kid confronting you about something that they're hurt on and you not expressing it. And giving them what they need at that time because you are in your feelings as an adult. And I have made that mistake too.
Absolutely, we all have.
Yeah. So it's a lot to process as an adult when you're going through your situations and you're just so focused on trying to make it through that, you know, you're not giving your kids the true understanding of what is the process to try to make it through a situation. And we can be wrong in them situations a lot because we're not allowing them to grow from our mistakes, because now they become adults and then they go through the same thing you went through and they're lost because they didn't have no knowledge from you passing it down to them. So I think we all as adults are guilty of this. And unfortunately, we haven't grown in over thousands of years as I've been on this earth. We constantly go through the same thing and make the same mistake with our kids. But it's a process, and I'm trying to get better with it every day.
I think it's still a process for everybody. You know, we're learning as adults, so yeah. Still, like how to handle things and cope with stuff. And so maybe as we're working it out in our head, you know, we come to come to a conclusion about how we got here, or how we handle it in our head internally, and then we just like, okay, well, let's handle it. We never tell them the rest of the story. Like,
that's 100%.
You know, this is some of the tangibles that made this happen, and I just reasoned it to myself in my head, and that was it.
Yeah, we didn't get them that knowledge. We just processed it and moved on with it the best way we could. Yeah, that's 100% correct.
I think being open about everything is better with your kids because they can see, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if they don't know you're having a bad day and they don't know why you're having a bad day, and when it comes to them dealing with that, they're going to try and deal with it internally also.
Mm-hmm.
And then they might not have all the tools, but I mean, if you give them all the tools, then they'll figure out how to handle it, and then they can build on that as they grow.
Yeah. I was just going to get on you and Kelly because y'all not jumping in at all.
I know for me, being a parent is not easy. It's not a handbook that comes with parenting.
No.
I think as a society, we look at our role models, which is our parents, and we learn those behaviors that they did because it's just instinctual to do it. And I can only go by an experience that I had. I know, like, with me, I'm very quiet, and I've been told that I wear my emotions on my face. So I remember a couple of times just driving in the car, and, you know, both of my boys are sitting in the back seat when they was little. And I know Elijah will always look in the, rearview mirror, and he'd be like, "Are you okay, Mom?" And, you know, Isaiah would be asleep, but Elijah was very observant. And he's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine." He's like, "Are you sure?" And I'm like, "Yeah, why are you asking me that?" And he was like, "Because it looks like you're mad or you're sad." And I'm like, "No, I'm just, you know, just sitting here thinking." And he was like, "Oh, okay." And it's like he became more observant of, like, my emotions more than I was. So for me, I know I never like to discuss stuff with them because I was always taught that kids shouldn't know stuff. You know, everything was, you know, you don't do that in front of your kids. You don't, you know, express your emotions in front of your kids because, you know,
you want them to think everything's okay. Yeah. It's all right.
And, you know, but it's like, you, as a parent, you try your best to give your kids the stuff that you didn't have, you know, whereas if it's emotionally or financially. And I know that as parents and even as kids, they don't seem to understand that until they become an adult and they have children.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can look back at you and say, "I understand where you're coming from." You know, I know it's a lot of times as a kid, I would, you know, my grandparents or my grandma would say old sayings, and she would be like, "Be careful who you have kids by." And I never understood what she meant until I got older.
Subconsciously, and, you got it. Though.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it's like, I get what she's saying because you don't want to have kids by somebody that's very abusive or they have traits that in a sense is genetically passed along to your kid. So now as an adult, I understand where she was coming from. And I think a lot of times with your kids, you can explain stuff and try to lead by example, but a lot of times they're gonna have to experience for themselves to grow.
A lot of those old sayings, they, like, you don't think about them when they say them to you, and yeah, older people say them to you, but then, like, you'll just be living life and it'll pop in your head and you're like, "That's what they meant."
Yeah.
That's exactly what they meant.
Yeah, 100%.
It makes sense. Yeah. 100%.
We gonna get on you, Kelly. We gonna get on you.
I know. Oh, I'll fight y'all.
Y'all nervous?
No, I'm. My thing is that kids, especially working in a school, kids are not allowed to be wrong. Mm-hmm. Their peers are gonna judge them. Their teachers are gonna judge them. Everybody judges them. When they're at school, especially, there is the biggest time when they don't want to make a mistake, especially if they have a bad home life. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I try to say, like, I like a lot of old phrases that my grandma taught me and stuff. Mm-hmm. Ignorance is bliss. Mm-hmm. You can't help that somebody else was uneducated about something.
Yeah.
The only thing you can do is try and make it better. Yeah. So that has been a real big thing for me lately, and being able to admit or deal with things and say, you know, we make mistakes as adults.
Yeah.
I may overhear part of a conversation and part of another conversation, and my brain starts working as a parent, you know, and then I'm like, "Oh, well, what, you know, let's try and solve this, you know, problem." Sometimes we just got to let our kids deal with it on their own, but you can't fix the past. You can only fix the future.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I want these young kids to understand is that they can move forward. It's okay. Yeah. You know, suicide is a big thing. There's a lot of kids out here doing a lot of things because they've made mistakes and they don't know how to get past it.
Yeah.
It's not okay to be wrong. It's not okay to admit that you did something out of spite or you were mean to somebody because you don't want to be seen as that mean person or you don't want to be hurt or, you know, what happens, you know, when you come home and you have to face the reality that a parent's lost their job or, you know, this isn't okay or, you know, I don't want people knowing about my life. because then I'm vulnerable. Yeah. And it goes back to the saying of like when we were growing up, we wanted people to like us in school. When someone didn't like us, we were like, hey, man, I'm a cool person. Like, what's I know, up? Like, you know, why don't you like me? Yeah. Like, you don't even know me. Mm-hmm. Yes. No, now it's a let me hurt you before you hurt me. Yeah. So the minute you tell me something vulnerable, I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Our kids have suffered through this, you yeah. know, with some of their closest friends or who they thought were their closest friends. And it's hurtful to watch. But yeah. as a parent, you know, I've cried right along with my kids. You know, I'm sorry you're going through this, but in the end,
you've been through this before. Like,
yeah.
This
is what happened. One of the things is with one of my kids, you know, she reached out to an old friend that has been reaching out to her that she was friends with for a while. And after that, I said, go meet up with her. You yeah. know, maybe things will be different. Maybe you both grew a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe there's enough time that's passed. You'll get through it.
People and, change.
Yeah. And she came home and after meeting with this friend and just said, you know, I grew up and she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, and she goes, I'm sad, but at least now I have closure, mm-hmm. you yeah. know? And yeah. I said, and you know what? She will grow up.
Yeah.
She'll change. She's on a different level than where you're at. And yeah. she goes, I knew because everything felt the same, Mom. And I said, well, I'm glad. I'm glad that you could admit that you were both wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that you could admit that, like, you know, you're just not in the same place. When it feels the same as it did before when you were hurting, then yeah. it's not worth going back to. And, you know, she did it on her own with the right guidance that says it's okay.
Yeah.
But had she have not had that to say, you know, it's okay to go back and see if your friendship's going to work out this time, or it's not, you know, it's okay to admit that you made mistakes in that friendship too, or that relationship too. Like, it's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think she would have done that. I don't think she would have gotten the closure that she needed.
And she needed that closure to mm-hmm. move forward in her own life.
Mm-hmm. And to grow.
It's, yeah. It's, you know, I want to touch on a subject that you just brought on about suicide. And, I was discussing with Delta about this, is like, is mental illness, it seemed like it's coming to a head in our society now because of, I don't know, but is it because we news. Don't, huh?
Because of the news.
Yeah.
It's always bad. It's always yeah. terrible.
Well, yeah. I think that it's not okay. It's not okay for you to feel like, you know, a parent doesn't love you at a time.
Yeah.
You know, we all have a mutual friend that, you know, we feel isn't always in the best situation with their family.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay to be not that one child, or, you know, when you come from a big family, yeah. you know, it's hard to understand why this kid gets that or this kid gets that. And depression is a real thing for
yeah.
people.
Yeah, it is.
So,
yeah.
you know, but the thing is that we need to focus more on how to fix that mm-hmm. problem and how to discuss it and communicate.
That's what I'm saying.
Because the communication skills aren't there.
Ain't there.
That, and a lot of kids lost that during COVID, those critical years of needing that development of talking and socializing and figuring out, you know, why do I feel this way? But not to dwell on the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you felt that way one time doesn't mean that you're going to feel there. Like that feeling is there forever.
Do you think social media, like he was saying, it's like news is reporting, and now news is so easy to grab due to social media and you having, you know, your phone. You know, our society, when we was growing, I mean, our times, when we was growing up, you know, it was a lot of interaction. We would go outside and play out in the field, and anything we discussed
right there. Up there.
Right. We discussed it right there. Now everything is secondhand through social media.
Right.
So
or
it's firsthand. Like
firsthand.
Yeah.
And they're like, pulling your emotions. They want you to put yourself in this, you know, situation, or where, you know, even these two kids that were just killed after prom.
Yeah.
You know, the media is putting it out there for you to feel as if that could be your kid.
Yes.
We can't live our life like that. We connect it, but I feel like that could happen to any one of our kids. It could happen to any one of the kids at the high school. It happens almost every single year for the last 50 years.
It has.
You know, this isn't the first time. But these kids, when they're graduating, they're seniors or they're juniors and they're going to that prom, they feel like that could have been them. That could be, you know, they put themselves in that situation emotionally. And then it's like, well, it's not. And I don't even like, you know, especially if someone's already depressed, you know, well, it should have probably been me. You know, one of their friends is probably sitting there today saying that should have been me that got in the accident, or that should have been me that passed away. Cause I'm not, I don't even have nothing to live for, but there's a reason and a purpose for it.
Yeah,
you gotta find yours. I tell
our kids not to worry about it till it's at your front door.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, just worrying.
Just be supportive. If it's somebody that you know, someone that you're
deteriorate your mental health. The more you worry about it, and mm-hmm. a lot of it's sensationalized. The truth is blurred.
Yeah.
There's really no what do you call that in journalism. You know, there's no truth in journalism. There's a lot of it's all blurred lies just for likes and for.
Yeah,
and for more money, you know,
yeah,
more a bigger slice of the pie. So they don't care about our feelings; they could care less.
No,
as long as we're out there
making
them
money.
They're, you know, they got their fishing pole or bait up and down, and they got the right bait. They get more views, likes.
And the sad thing is that
sell more advertising space.
These young kids think that they're solving a problem for themselves, and the parents that aren't there, like no one ever wakes up thinking that that's going to be their kid. And to go through and be there firsthand when it happens every single day, there's no communication. There's no communication there. And that, you know, a lot of times with help or with talking to the right person, because sometimes it's, you know, your mom's a doctor, your dad's a lawyer, you have everything. Why would you want to do that? There was no communication. There was no love. There's no depression is a real thing.
It is.
And you know the realization and the socialization, like you said, the media plays it up to be this thing of like, well, you'll be remembered or you'll be, you know, that's what. No, that's not how you want to be remembered.
Never.
You know, or school isn't for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, school. I have seen it more
recently.
Probably since COVID, where kids aren't even ourselves. My son, I was working two jobs. He works. We bought two houses. We've done a lot of stuff. And I one day just happened to go on Skyward, and my son's in the same school I am, and he has four Fs. And I'm like, whoa, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed a big change in him. Like, even before that, that's what kind of made me, like, he was really struggling to come home and talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every time you'd say, you know, how was your day? Good. Mm-hmm. You know, well, what's going on? Oh, nothing. You know, everything seems to be good. I see him at lunch every day or passing the halls. He seems to be happy.
Yeah.
But you know what? When I check his grades, he has four S, and I ask him, he's like, I'm just really struggling with it. Well, how come you didn't say anything? Well, I didn't want to bother you.
Because
he cares. He don't want to bother me.
Because you got two jobs and you trying to survive.
And, you know, and my thing is that I, you know, the reason I got a second job was just to be able to, because I felt like when I was coming home, he's at work, the kids are out, there's nobody home, I'm just there by myself, I'll keep myself busy making money, you know, what's wrong with that? And, you know, but the minute I found out he had four hours, we went in there, quit my job, it just was what I needed to do as a parent.
Yeah.
And when I did that, we sat down, we got organized, we cleaned out his book bag, we got all a new file folder system. Within 2 weeks, the teachers are like, is he on new medicine?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not supposed to discuss this with you, but what's going on with him?
Yeah, yeah,
like he's focused, he's on task.
Yeah. And he needed that attention.
He needed that from me, you know? And then like one night when we went to bed, I like kind of cried. I'm like, I didn't realize he needed me so much, and I was just going through the motions of the day, you know, not taking the time to be like, hey, like my own family, my own struggle. And that's what I'm talking about. Me as a parent, as much as it hurt me to sit and cry and admit that I was not doing what was right for my kids, even though I thought I was, I told them, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've been working so hard to try and, you know, give you guys a better future.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm not doing it right if you guys are the ones that are suffering.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes that personal...
You never want to forsake the present for the...
Yeah.
Yeah, I connect with that a lot because, you know, when Elijah passed and I found out that it was his asthma and everything like that, it's like over the years, I ignored, you know, I ain't going to say I ignored it, but I wasn't present in that with him. And I was like, was he suffering? And because I'm just going to work and just trying to survive the day, I didn't notice it. Not blaming myself for him passing, but in a sense, when you're not locked in to what is currently happening, you miss signs and right. everything like that. And it's like, you know, me doing what I had to do to, you know, survive, you know what I'm saying? Did it cause me to miss something? And you know, it bothers me and it kind of, you know, rubs me and everything like that. But it's a lot of, like she's, you know, Kelly was saying, it's a lot of people that's trying to survive and not thinking about that present of what is actually that child needs, and you missing things.
With everything going on in the world today, you're spread so thin.
Yes.
There's not enough for you to go around for everybody. You can't give everybody 100%. You only give them 10. So,
yeah.
And that's the thing. Elijah's passing away also played into me stepping back and looking at things.
Yeah.
You know, we stopped back and like when I was noticing like, hey, like Jack's not doing so good. And so, yeah, one of the things is that going through the experience with you guys, with everything, with Elijah, it does make me stop where normally I don't think I would have stopped to like, look at the Jack the way that I did with everything. And to just be like, you know what, something's going on with him and I've got to help him figure it out, you know? And since then, his grades, he went from having 4 Fs to in 3 weeks, having all A's, B's, and C's, and solid D right before the third quarter ended. So all his teachers and everything are like, he's working hard. We actually had to switch a teacher. He had one teacher that he really likes, this teacher, but the teacher was more focused on his hobbies that they both enjoyed versus on my son's education. And so that was the reason Jackson liked going to the teacher. And he actually, you know, broke down. He was like, Mom, I don't want to switch class. I really like this teacher. It's so much fun. And I said, honey, this is 3 quarters into the year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait another quarter to see if you're going to do it. He went from that grade of 51% to ended up bringing it up to like 84% or 85%. Mm-hmm. But it was a lot. And it's, you know, he had to work at it. He had to want it. And I always tell the kids, you have to want something more than what I want for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard to get kids to understand that concept, you know. I want you to do the best, but if you don't want to, you won't. Yeah. Just like I don't want you to ever, you know, drink and use drugs. But if you're going to, there's nothing I can do to stop you. You have to make that choice for yourself.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I wanted to add that I know doing this whole process with the with mental health, I noticed that there's not a lot of resources out there for it.
Yeah.
Because for me personally, I have had issues in the past with my mental health because of my mother being diagnosed with schizophrenia, and it pretty much running through our family. And I'm a big believer in genetics, DNA, and I've had two cousins pass from suicide. And for me, this really hits home, and I'm just speaking on a personal level. I know, like when Elijah passed, even still to this day, I really do suffer with my mental emotions, because it is very, I don't want to get emotional, but it's very, you know, difficult to know that he's not here.
And you're not alone.
Yeah. And I feel like when Isaiah, you know, goes off to school, it's like, what do I do with that time? It's like, I try to I try to keep myself busy. And I know you guys had asked me how was I doing? How was this week? And this week was really rough because I'm at work and somebody said something to me. And, you know, they was talking about their kids. And, you know, the lady has two boys that's the same age, around the same age as my boys. And she was just saying how she's, you know, frustrated with her oldest son because of this and the youngest son because he's not doing good in school. And it just made me think like, man, I wish he knew that I would give anything to have my son back and my family be whole and just to be able to talk to him and hold him. And it's just like it's like, what do I do? How do I move on in a sense? It's like I'm physically moving on, but I'm still like mentally and emotionally still at that moment that it happened when I found him. So for me, I'm trying to keep myself busy, but it's like when I'm not busy and I'm not doing anything, it's like my mind is wondering and it's like, you know, do you really want to go on? You know, because your child isn't here. And, you know, he really was like one of my best friends because I could talk to him about anything. He knew what I was feeling before I knew I was feeling it. And, you know, now that he's not here, it's just like, man, you know, this is so unfair. Like, as a parent, what do you do to not feel that way or move on? And it's just like, I've tried the counseling and I don't know. It doesn't feel like it was helping me. Maybe it was,
but... Is it one-on-one counseling or is it group counseling?
It was one-on-one. And, you know, I catch myself now. It's like, oh, whenever I start feeling or thinking about him, I'm popping a pill to like, bury those feelings. And it's just like, you know, you can't bury it. And it's just like, I can't understand where a person gets to that place where it's a dark place for them and they don't see everything, you know, clearly. They're just so stuck in that pain. And it's just like, how do you survive? How do you get out of that place? And it's just like, do you ever get out of that place? And, you know, I always, you know, when my cousins, you know, had committed suicide, I didn't understand,
and
like,
why?
It's like, why couldn't you talk to anyone? Or, you know, you had kids and you left your kids. It's just like, how did you
get to
that place? And it's like, now what I'm going through and what I'm experiencing, I get it. I understand it. And, you know, I'm fighting each and every day. And, you know, I try to think about how would Isaiah feel if I wasn't here, or how would Eugene feel, and it's
or how
like,
Kelly feel.
How Justin would feel,
or what he would want for you. You know,
that's the key.
Yeah,
that's the key.
You just gotta have like a small glimmer, like a little sliver of hope, and you can get out of them places. You
yeah,
know? It's
yeah.
And that's the one
you can't
thing
ever
that's
think,
there's
you know,
a stigmatism as far as like, you know, when someone loses someone, we're not supposed to bury our children. Mm-hmm. That's first and foremost,
yes.
You know. But the one thing we know when we're born is that one day we will pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the only thing is like, you know, for years I went to funeral, you know, funerals and stuff, and everyone's saying, you know, well, the journey in between, you know.
Yeah.
Like, how can you look at, like, the one thing that you guys could look at and hold on to is the fact that his life was great.
Mm-hmm.
You gave him a good life. He wasn't abused. He mm-hmm. didn't go through horrible things. Like, yes, we have our ups and downs as a family,
very
but
happy.
Always smiling, always trying to make somebody else smile, always trying to make his life better, you know, like always willing to help, like just
maybe channel your inner Isaiah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the things that made him was you guys.
Mm-hmm.
All that love. So, you know, love everybody else, you know, do something for someone else, get involved in a community, something, you know, like there's so many kids out there that just need someone to care, you know. Adopt a grown adult.
I feel that.
You know, they're already raised. Just make them happy, you know.
One thing I feel, though, that it's very probably, you don't connect with it now because you're going through the grieving stages with her. But meeting you, you know, I remember Elijah's talking about Miss B. And it was like, I didn't know who you were, but I knew the way he talked about you. You wasn't a bad person. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah. I knew that
your reputation,
if he went
preceded
over,
you.
Yes. I knew if he went over there, it was safe.
Oh yeah.
You know, I knew the way you accepted Jacob, that you was a good person. I knew that, you know, the way Jacob talks about you, he was a good person. And Elijah not being here brought you into our lives, and you have came in and made us feel like family. And it's very hard for me and her to feel like family with anyone because of our past, and we've been hurt, and for you to get past that wall is a gift that he brought to us, because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't know Miss B. We wouldn't know Kelly. You know, we wouldn't know Justin. You know what I'm saying? So it's a blessing what he brought to us, even after his passing.
Yeah. It's almost like he was an angel. He did the same thing for Isaiah.
Yeah.
Long before that, watching him and Lily develop a friendship and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just a good soul from the beginning. And, like, you know, always just going above and beyond what you have to, you know, making that little piece of, you know, like Delta having issues with yourself because something's hereditary and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's okay, because the one thing that, like a disease, when you know you suffer from something, at least you can face and admit it. But that goes back to, like, adults saying that I'm not only struggling with my own depression of the loss of my son, but also the other things that I've felt with my whole life.
Yes.
How do you change something from the past? Mm-hmm. How do you move forward? You know, my grandma did a lot for me as far as teaching me things that in the moment I hated or I felt was like, how can you say that? How do you, how do you know how I'm feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Because she experienced it once before, you know, to take that time to move forward. When we were working around the yard and stuff, and Delta said, I don't know how I'll repay. You don't have to repay us. But, like, you know, where you guys came from, if someone owed you something, they were going to come take it.
Yeah.
You know, or you don't want to have to owe somebody because you don't want to expect something bad.
Right.
You know, and that's not how I was raised. Like, from, like, you know, when I was young, we lived out on 4 acres when my parents got divorced. I mean, we had no worries in the world. Mm-hmm. They got divorced. We went live with my grandparents. I had a really hard teenage years growing up, which my kids are just now learning it because I chose not to share those mistakes as a young adult. I wanted them to see me as who they saw me for now, not who I was as a kid. And if I shared some of those mistakes with them, they might not feel the same way or look at me the same way with that respect.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's good to teach them things at certain times in their lives.
Yeah.
But there's always room to better someone else's life or to help them.
Yeah.
You know, the reason we did what we did was because all of the kids after Elijah passed away, sitting around crying, telling their stories and stuff. You know, I started talking to Jacob, and Jacob's like, do you remember when he said this and he wanted that? And he was going to get a job and he was going to work and he was going to, you know, the first thing he was going to do was repair your garage door, you know? He was going to,
That he didn't break.
Yes. That he didn't break. Yeah. But the thing was, is that he was always thinking of the next thing up. This is what I'm going to do in my future. Yeah. This is what I want. And, like, so many young kids don't even have a look at what they're going to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, to look at that and say, like, it's going to be okay, and we're going to deal with this, and we're going to live that same type of life. Like, you know, let's work at it together. Let's try to help one another. Let's try to make each other's lives better, even if we can only get together once a month because it seems like we're so busy. But when things calm down, it is, what do you do when you have time? And like, you know, I was, you know, Lily and Jake and them are going to live with us for a little while longer. But, you know, in the next couple of years, they're going to move out, and being empty nesters is hard.
Yes.
To know that we don't have control over our kids anymore. Mm-hmm. To, you know, I just told Lily and Jake the other day, I have to take a step back out of, like, your guys' relationship because, like, you know, Jake might say something to Lily. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Why would you talk to someone like that, you know, or say that? And that's something that I don't understand is the new generation of talking to one another.
Yes. It's different.
Yes. And I'm like, you know, I would never say that to somebody. I would never call somebody a bad thing or, you know, I just, they have a lot of different
ways of communication.
Yeah.
Yeah,
or non-communication.
Non-communication or you know, abuse because of their past. You know, sometimes, you know, my biggest saying that always was said to me, hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And when people hurting, they can say anything in a moment to hurt you.
Yeah.
But they don't mean what they're saying. But as young people, you only can take that so far. You don't continue to deal with that. You help that person either grow where they don't hurt you no more, or you have to move on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are caught up in a situation with their parent or their step-parent or their guardian that they're being hurt. And that guardian, like you said, don't know that they are even hurting them because hurt people hurt people. And that person becomes, you know, depressed, and they bury themselves in that hurt. And then next thing you know, they're not here no more. And, you know, anyone that's listening to this, I just want them to know that it's always someone there to help.
Right. And even, you know, something you guys said, you guys always knew Elijah was loved, but you didn't know how loved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's all the relationships that he built outside himself. Of all the things that you taught him.
Yes.
You know, to be happy, to, you know, be polite and do things and help people and all of those great things. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we're trying to teach our kids the same, but it's hard when you go into a world at a school when you got 1,300 kids and they're all looking at you and they're all judging you and why are you wearing this or why are you doing this or, you know, look at how that person's dressed. Did you ever stop to think that that person has a lot going on at home? Did you ever think that kid maybe didn't eat today or yesterday?
Yeah.
Or that kid didn't have, you know, you went home and you did this or that, but like, also at the same time, keep in mind of what they may be going through.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and not everybody knows everybody, you know, they don't take the time or just because, well, so-and-so has got this going on. There's that one person that sits alone at a lunch table, you know, and no one wants to sit by that kid or no one wants to talk to that kid. Like really, if you just went up and talked to that kid for one moment, it would, your life would be a little bit, you know, maybe you have a lot more things in common than you realize, you know, or maybe they're going through something that you want to be an educator. You want to teach people, you want to be a good person and teach somebody. Even when you're young, you don't have to be an adult to teach somebody something or something you've been through. If you've had a bad breakup, maybe they just broke up with a boyfriend or girlfriend and they just need someone to talk to because they're not sure how to deal with the fact of someone not liking them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay that somebody doesn't like you. It is really okay if two people don't get along or to have a fight. You know, the biggest thing I think I see as far as like kids communicating is that the minute you have a fight, you're no longer friends.
Yeah.
You cannot disagree or have a debate over something like, well, you don't like this or, you know, well, then I can't like it either. Yes. We're just not friends anymore.
If that was the case, nobody would ever be married.
Right? Yes. If you
have a fight, you're done.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
100%. I just said, no one would be married at all if it was a disagreement that separated you. For sure.
But that's the social media with these kids in their phones in their face 100%.
They can just say whatever they want over the keyboard.
Yeah, and there's no feelings on the other side of it.
If you look at that person's face when you say that to them and you see that hurt, you're not going to want to do that again.
Stay tuned for episode 2 on Love Everyone.